This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And we begin this week with tantalizing hints from a Supreme Court with a brand new justice, Neil Gorsuch, as the court recesses for the summer. 2 years after the historic summer when the court legalized the right to marry by same-sex couples, the court announced it will hear President Trump's travel ban cases in the fall. The lower courts had blocked the ban from taking effect, but today the high court said there was no reason for most of the injunctions blocking the ban to remain in effect until a final decision later this year. That's big. The administration can prevent anyone from the six Muslim-majority countries from entering the U.S. unless they, quote, have a credible claim of a bona fide relationship with a person or entity in the United States. Also, the court will look at a wedding cake, a religious conviction, and whether a same-sex wedding can be disrupted by a religious baker. It's actually called the Baker Case. Here with the latest is Eric Citron, partner at Goldstein & Russell. He's also a former clerk to Justices Sandra Day O'Connor and Elena Kagan, and a guest contributor to SCOTUS Blog. Eric, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me.
Has the court really intervened here in this travel ban with the vacating of these injunctions?
Well, it's agreed to hear the case, so it's taking it up, and that's intervention of a form. It's also struck down the injunctions in part, which will modify what was happening on the ground. If you have a concrete connection to the United States, you're still protected by the injunction, and so you cannot be banned from entering under the terms of the executive order. But for foreign nationals who have no concrete connection to the United States, the Supreme Court has struck down the lower court's injunction, and they are now subject to the immediate effect of the president's travel ban.
Now, does the injunctions going away diminish the argument or the urgency of the argument of the plaintiffs in these cases?
It's a complicated question. I mean, if the travel ban starts running right now, it's possible that the 90 days will have totally elapsed by the time the court even takes up the case, in which case it will be what lawyers call moot.
Right.
There'll be nothing left to decide. If the Supreme Court thinks that's happened and it's asked for briefing on whether the case has in fact been mooted in the interim, it may just eliminate all of the decisions below and kick the cases out of court, or it could leave the decisions below in place and just kick its own case out of court. All that is sort of hard to predict.
And what is the issue that the court seems to be tantalized with, aside from just wanting to possibly settle things between the plaintiffs and the Trump administration, given all of the rhetorical chaos surrounding travel bans and terrorism and immigration, that sort of thing? Is there due process for people who are traveling with various kinds of papers coming in and out of the U.S.?
Well, I think what the court has done is tried to say very little on the merits of the case. The opinion for the court, which is for six justices, really just focuses on the balance of equities. Who's more harmed by setting up the status quo one way or another while we wait for the court to decide the case? So they're really focused on that question, and they don't say anything really about the merits, about what you were discussing, the rhetoric surrounding it. Is this really a religiously motivated ban on Muslim entry? Is it a national security ban? Does it serve a legitimate state purpose if it's been characterized that way? Or are we smoking out religious discrimination? There's nothing about that in the orders today.
We got rulings today. We also got, as the travel ban is one, an indication of what's going to be heard in the next term. How different is the Baker case, and you can describe what this is, than the Hobby Lobby case, where you've got an employee claiming that they can deny service to a customer on the basis of a religious commitment or a religious conviction?
Yeah, it's different for a couple of reasons. One is it's not under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, so it's not statutory. It'd be a constitutional claim, which makes it more profound. And the other is, of course, that it's not the employer claiming that they don't want to cover something, which seems much more about their own behavior or payment connection in that respect. It does seem more like discriminating against one of your customers on a, you know, as someone who typically serves everybody in the public. And, you know, that is a rehash of an issue that the court confronted in the 60s about the Civil Rights Act when it barred, you know, people who provide ordinary common carrier type services from discriminating on the basis of race. And so it is definitely a step beyond Hobby Lobby, and it will be a very substantial ruling if the court ends up finding that there is a constitutional protection there.
And we should just outline that the Baker case is, can a wedding cake baker deny service to same-sex couples? And we're looking at the two-year anniversary of the Supreme Court affirming of a right to same-sex couples to get married.
Yeah, and just to be super clear about it, because I think it's helpful, the Constitution doesn't say whether they can or can't, absent some state law in this instance that purports to say you cannot discriminate against homosexuals in that way or homosexual marriages in that way. The question is, do you have a constitutional defense to the state law that says you have to serve everybody? And that's what makes it much more extreme in that respect. The state has gone out of its way to protect these people. And the question is, can you deny them service anyway?
Any other indications from this last bit of data coming out of the Supreme Court? It's always mysterious. You've described it as that. This is the first final rulings until fall experience with Neil Gorsuch on the court.
You know, if you were trying to place Justice Gorsuch on a kind of left-right axis, he seems to be, from this first set of data, to the right of the Chief Justice, which means that if Justice Kennedy, the current sort of midpoint justice, if he does retire in the next year or two, you can expect Roberts to become the court's swing vote and Chief Justice at the same time, which will make him a very, very powerful voice on the court. That said, Justice Gorsuch did vote with the more liberal position on a case, just kind of a nothing burger of a case about remanding when the government has confessed error. And so there may be some situations, maybe involving the criminal law, where you might see Justice Gorsuch having more of the swing vote.
Eric Citron, thanks so much.
Yep, nice to be here.
Eric Citron, partner at Goldstein & Russell, also a former clerk to Justices Sandra Day O'Connor and Elena Kagan.